Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 4th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the third Sunday of Easter. Blessings to you. It is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. And I think we ought to just get right to it. Let's begin, as is our custom and practice here. We begin to worship by celebrating the giver of all good things. We begin in a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude to our good God. We'll do so by first taking a big, deep breath. Pull that breath in. Hold on to it. Savor it. It's a gift from God. It's the gift of life. Let it go. Take in another one. And as you take in this big, deep, beautiful breath, the breath of life, call to mind the best of life, the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that fill you with joy. Give thanks to God for all of these. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky and open your arms up wide. Thank you, God, for this day and for this opportunity to worship you. And in this spirit, in this posture, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin where you found today's podcast. The left margin of where you found that, just go below the line where it says sermon notes. Click on that and the bulletin will come up for you. The call to worship is based on Psalm 30. Sing praises to the Lord, O you faithful ones, and give thanks to God's holy name. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You have turned our mourning into dancing. You have taken off our sackcloth and clothed us with joy. Our souls will praise you and not be silent. O Lord, our God, we will give thanks to you forever. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John in the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." But he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we call out to you on this, the third Sunday of Easter. And we consider the story of your appearance to the disciples on the seashore. And God, we seek to be among them, to hear your voice, to sit in your presence. And so we gather around this sacred story. We lean in and we listen, so that we could be transported beyond the here and the now to the there and the then. Meet us right where we are, right here and right now, O God, and invite us into this circle of fellowship and teaching. We pray, God, save us. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could hear your voice, discern your will, and find the faith to follow. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, on this third Sunday of Easter, we are blessed with this wonderful story at the end of John's Gospel. I emphasize the of because it's important for us as church to understand that this is a season. It's not the days after. We are people of the resurrection. That's why we have our Sabbath, our worship day on Sunday, on the first day of the week. It's not an event that is past. It's something that is present with us always. And in these days, we emphasize everything we've just been hearing. We begin to connect the dots backwards, just like the disciples were forced to do in Jesus' absence, beginning to make sense. How did he say it? Do you remember that day when he did this or that miracle or offered that teaching? Now it makes sense. That's our discipline now. We are called to do that same thing. And it's John's gospel is probably the richest ground that we can till in connecting everything, because in John's gospel, nothing stands alone. Everything connects to what went before or what's coming after. It's brilliant, and it makes reading John a terrific spiritual exercise. So we catch up with Jesus and the disciples after we've heard stories of other resurrection appearances. As John says, this is the third resurrection appearance of Jesus. We could quibble with John and say it's the fourth if we include his appearance to Mary. So let's just keep that in mind. I think it's important for us to do that. And so let's just begin at the beginning in chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, after these appearances, after the previous 20 chapters, Jesus again showed himself to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus encountering his disciples by the sea sounds kind of like the call story of the disciples, many of them. And so here's how the story goes. Gathered together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples who are not named. Simon Peter, and I'd imagine some of the others, were sitting around wondering what to do next. Their world had been turned upside down, not just over the previous few weeks, but over the past several years. This is 3 years in public ministry with Jesus. 3 years of teaching like they'd never heard before. 3 years of witnessing miracles. 3 years of being sent out to be like the rabbi. And now they're in this interim period. What do we do with all this in the absence of Jesus? We've seen him a couple times, but he's not with us on a regular basis anymore. So he does what I'd imagine a lot of us would do. I need to do something normal. I want to get my life back. Peter's a fisherman, so he does what he knows to do, and he tells the others, I'm going fishing. And that sounds like a plan. So these others, we'll go with you. And so they went out. They got into the boat, but that night, they caught nothing. It's dark. They're doing what they know to do. They've gone back to their old life of fishing at night, but nothing happens. They catch no fish. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Connections. Every line, every verse has something for us. In verse 3, they've gone out fishing at night. They've gone out to what they've always done. They try to retreat to the life that they've known, but nothing comes of it. They have no catch. It's as if perhaps this is no longer their vocation. The day breaks, And then there's one standing on the shore, but they don't know it's Jesus. Where do we first get that image? Well, at the beginning, during the call narratives, they don't know exactly who this Jesus is. He might have had a reputation that preceded him, but they have a knowing and they follow him. Certainly, there's the story of Mary coming to the tomb and imagining Jesus to be the gardener because she can't quite see him. Right? They don't know it's him. They know, but they don't know. So let me get back to the reading here. Verse 4, just after daybreak, let's not lose sight of that, because they'd been fishing at night, trying to return to their old vocation their own way, and it produced nothing. But now, in the light of day, nearer to Jesus, even though they don't know it yet, they get some fishing instructions from Jesus. There's this guy standing on the shore, and they don't know who he is, but they hear his voice, and he sounds confident when he says, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they don't say anything smart-alecky back. They just say, "No." But he's got some advice. He says, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they're unable to haul it in because there's so many fish. Beautiful image. From fishing in darkness, trying to go back to the old ways, to being in the presence of their Lord, and not even knowing it yet. Try something different in my presence, in the light of day. Throw the net somewhere else. You've been casting the net on this side all night long. Try something else. And they do, and immediately they find an abundance. They go from lack to abundance because of the one who's on the shore. And we put a little pin in that because that will come up later. They follow his instructions. So now they've got this big haul of fish, which triggers something in John, or as John writes of himself, that seems to be the consensus. When we read in John's gospel, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John saying John. And so the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Simon Peter heard it, and it reminds me, that scene reminds me of the two of them when they run off to the tomb on Resurrection Sunday. And they're in there and they look at each other. They've got the linens in their hands. And there's just this knowing glance that they exchange. Seeing the miracle, just they needed that visual reminder. And they know it's Jesus. They know he's risen. They know that this is Jesus standing on the shore. Of course, this is so Jesus, right? Throw the net in the other side and we got an abundance of fish. Who else do we know that could pull something like that off? And so Peter gets himself together, gets dressed, hops in the water, runs to the shore. The others have to do something with all these fish. So they get the fish on the boat and haul the boat into shore. Fortunately, they're not that far from shore. They're about 100 yards off. And then in verse 9, we have this image, which is the beginning of something that John is going to play out for us. When they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire. Now, the last time we encountered a charcoal fire in John's gospel was on the night of Jesus' arrest. And there are people warming themselves by a charcoal fire. One of those people is Peter, but let's continue on. Jesus then said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard, he went over to the boat, he hauled the net ashore full of all the fish, a lot of them, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net wasn't torn. They didn't lose a single one. And so Jesus invites them to breakfast, and at this point they all know. But none of them are going to say, "Who are you?" They just No, they don't want to ruin the moment. There's a knowing, there's something in the tension of not saying it and just knowing that it's Jesus that is their host on this morning. So Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. John, once again, connecting us to different points in the gospel as we connect the dots backwards to chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. Everyone sit down. What do we have? We've got some loaves and some fish. Let's do this. So there is the breaking of the bread and the fish. And while John doesn't have an institution of the Eucharist, there is no breaking of the bread and the pouring of the cup at the Last Supper. In John, we get the washing of the feet. But here we can see a connection to Eucharist. We see a connection to John chapter 6 and the feeding of the 5,000. We also, in terms of feeding and abundance, let's not forget that there's a reference to Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. So John connecting us to the signs, the sign that took place in Galilee where Jesus turns water into wine. Wine in abundance, and not only wine in abundance, but the best wine that they'd ever had. Now they've caught fish, not just a bunch of scrawny little fish, but a huge net, a net teeming with big fish, good fish. And a fire prepared. Jesus and the disciples gathered around the charcoal fire. And just like he'd always done everywhere they went, what does he do? He brings community and hospitality. Sit, eat, calm the fever, fill the tummy, open the eyes. Let's sit and be together. And so this group of disciples, now the third time for them that they've seen Jesus, gathered together, getting a little nourishment after a long night of fishing, Jesus has some work to do, has some encouragement to offer Peter. Because we're around the charcoal fire. And it wasn't that long ago that Peter was warming himself by a charcoal fire. And over the course of a few hours, denied knowing Jesus three times. How's that been sitting on his heart? And while this is not Jesus directly forgiving Peter, it's Jesus acknowledging his love for Peter and giving him an opportunity to affirm Jesus, giving Peter an opportunity to affirm Jesus three times. In the three times, asking the question, "Do you love me?" "Yes, you know that I love you." And Peter is right in that answer. Jesus knows that Peter loves him. He's always had a need for Peter. He's always seen something in Peter. His bold spirit, his willingness to run on ahead, be the first one in the tomb, be the first one to answer the question. His boldness and his faith is not lost on Jesus. And so he gives Peter three opportunities to express his love for Jesus. And in expressing the love, Jesus says, "If this is true, and I know it's true, Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep." And he can point to the meal that they're enjoying. Because also in reference back to chapter 6, we have Jesus in the feeding, and then Jesus in the teaching. Because if they think for a minute, if they're telling the story again to themselves, after this story happens, remember when we were sitting by the sea and he fed us the fish and the bread, doesn't that remind you of the time when he fed 5,000 people and there was bread enough for anyone? And then we had baskets full, nothing went to waste. The net didn't break and nothing went to waste. And maybe, just maybe, they remember also what happened after the feeding. When the crowds began to chase Jesus since they wanted more bread, they wanted their stomachs filled again. And Jesus encouraged them, don't miss out. You'll be hungry. But what I'm offering you is a kind of nourishment that you'll never be hungry again. Follow me. And I think that's the whole thing. That's everything. Follow me. Do what I say. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, or all the way back to the wedding feast at Cana. Mary, the mother of Jesus, saying, do what he says. Do what he says. I highly commend to you to read through the Gospel of John in this season of Easter, looking for points of connection. Sitting at the shore of the Sea of Tiberias with Jesus and the others, with enough bread and enough fish to fill your belly so that you can be spiritually fed and see the connections. Listen to him. Do what he says. Hear him as he says to Peter and the others, and to you and to me, follow me. It is rich and eternal good news. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Do what he says. Hear him as he says, follow me. Good news indeed. To which I say, amen. Gracious and merciful God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah and Naomi and Ruth, God of apostles and disciples, God of the unnamed faithful, we come to you in prayer, and we come with an understanding that we sin, we fall short. We often don't listen to what you say. We don't follow you. We get distracted, we get worried, and so we run off in different directions. Our appetites go unchecked. We say things we shouldn't say. We're silent when we ought to speak up. We remain idle when we ought to do something. Or sometimes we act impulsively when we ought to be quiet and contemplative. But you know all of this about us, God, but you made us a promise that if we come to you in faith and humility, with broken spirits and contrite hearts, that you will continue to love us and have mercy on us and forgive us. And so we claim that promise in this very moment. We come to you just as we are. And we claim the grace and the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus, that you'd share a portion of that with us right now. We thank you for that. And you know the prayers and the petitions of our hearts, the things that we are concerned about, that we actually pray about. We pray over this, your very good world. We pray for the people in positions of power and influence, that they would be brought to a saving faith, that they could become agents of your grace and peace in this world. And for folks who feel like they're on the other end of the spectrum, that they have no power and no influence, they go through their day-to-day feeling invisible, lost and alone. Come alongside them, we pray. Offer them hope and peace and love and joy. And we all come to this moment, each and every one of us, with joys and concerns on our own hearts. People that we are so very grateful for, and we lift them up. And people that we're worried about. Maybe people that are about to face surgery. People who have big decisions to make. People in our lives who've made terrible decisions. All of this, you know these lists, God. We write them down, some of us, and we share them with you every day. Some of us pace the floor in the kitchen in the middle of the night. But we take this moment to take all that stuff and to hand it to you and ask that you consider each and every word of it. And then meet us here as we make silent space to sit humbly in your presence, knowing that you hear our prayers. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the rich tradition of our faith and for the men and women who have gone before us that have preserved for us the stories, the songs, and the rites and the rituals and the sacraments. Among all of this is a prayer that you taught your first disciples. We pray that you'd hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so filled with the abundance of God, filled to overflowing with God's grace and peace and hope and love and joy, with our eyes fixed on Him, with our minds tuned toward Him, with our ears inclined to hear His voice and to follow our good God. God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you, bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.